broadcast, I have sealed my fate.
Understand what I'm telling you?
speaking to you from the dead, where I have indeed seen the light, and I turned it off.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to the Hour of the Time with your host here, Doyle Shamley, in Eager, Arizona. Now, I want to thank you for listening this evening, and you can thank yourself for the information you're about to learn. I hope you take notes, because you're going to need them down the road. Now, if you'd like to contact the Hour of the Time, you may do so by writing Hour of the Time, P.O. Box 940, Eager, spelled E-A-G-A-R, Arizona 85925. Again, that's Hour of the Time, P.O. Box 940, Eager, Arizona 85925. The website, hourofthetime.com. That's hourofthetime.com. The studio number, 928-333-2942. And my personal email address, hourofthetime@hotmail.com. That's hourofthetime@hotmail.com. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I want you to remember we are listener-supported. And through your donations for these broadcasts in CD or MP3 format is how we keep our operation on the air, on the internet, how we do our speaking engagements, as we do a lot of them all over the Southwest, to private groups, state legislators, city and county entities, to try to warn people about the imminent danger of a new world socialist order. Go to our website, hourofthetime.com, and go to the Hot Shop, and you'll see thousands of audio broadcast, DVD presentations, emergency preparedness gear, medical kits, sales, special offers available for your perusal. Again, ladies and gentlemen, remember, we are listener-supported. We don't have any corporate sponsors, so we can avoid any censorship. And we can have full programming, not commercials for 3 minutes, and then broadcast for 3 minutes, and back and forth. Now, tonight's broadcast will be Minuteman Part 2, the Minuteman Part 2, and it's going to be a long series. And if you are truly interested in it, there will be a special invitation to those of you who understand the dangers our freedom are in. And even test sheets, etc., if you wish to actively participate and become proactive in our fight to reestablish our constitutional republic. We're not talking about a revolution here, ladies and gentlemen. We're talking about a restoration. We already have the perfect document. Now, let's just go back and use it. Now, I want you to remember we are running out of seats at the Hour of the Time Fall Research and Skills Conference in August out here in Arizona. So go to our website and look at Conference 2007, because you need to attend, ladies and gentlemen. Every year, different skills and different speakers to build on your knowledge base. You won't get a deal like this anywhere else. All your teaching and learning materials, binders, notebooks, CDs, DVDs, the speakers, all your question and answer that you want with them, your meals, your materials that are necessary, all included. So ladies and gentlemen, you need to go there to the website, hourofthetime.com, and look at the Conference 2007 page and hurry up. You have a unique opportunity in the fact that four or five people did not come through with their deposits and payments as they had promised. So we have some slots open. So I'd suggest you get active. You don't have much time to plan your travels, etc. It's coming up quick in August. Now, we're going to go to a musical break, I'm going to allow you to get your notebooks and something to write with ready, which you should always have when you listen to Hour of the Time. And I want you to take notes. Make a notebook of this series and keep it separate. Staple it together, whatever you want. Put it in a binder. If you can't keep up, we're going to have all these broadcasts in CD and MP3 format as a series at the end, or as we go, you can also donate for them because we're going to have them at a reduced price. They are that important. I want you to get hold of them. They'll also be in a packaged MP3 bundle when the series is done. That will be even more substantial savings. And like I say, if you are truly interested in becoming proactive for our constitutional republic and saving our freedoms, we'll be doing a special announcement, and you have the ability to actually participate in this fight for our freedoms, ladies and gentlemen. Now here we go to a musical break. Get your something to drink, something to write with, your notebooks, and be prepared for Minuteman Part 2. Ladies and gentlemen, again, you're listening to the Hour of the Time here with your host, Doyle Shamley, in Eager, Arizona. Tonight's broadcast, The Minuteman, Part 2. In Part 1, you learned the basic history and background of the Minuteman in America and some of the history behind some of the great ordeals they went through and their tactics on up through the World War II era. Now, we're going to get into the training aspects of what a Minuteman needs to know to effectively operate. One of the first things that needs to be done covers intelligence, security, and propaganda. What we'll call phase one of this training program is designed to give members basic knowledge and practice in intelligence, security, and propaganda. This phase is just a basic preparation for advanced training in these three important areas, which will be dealt with in greater detail further in the training program. Intelligence. Guerrilla warfare against an enemy of our republic whether they be domestic or foreign, as we customarily think of it, cannot succeed unless it is supported by a well-developed underground, comprising all the essential functions of intelligence, security, propaganda, communication, supply, medical services, etc. Of all these beginning phases, intelligence is the most important. Let's consider an example. Suppose you picked up a telephone book, open it up to any page at random, closed your eyes, and put your finger on just one name. Now suppose you read that name for the first time and said to yourself, sometime in the next 30 days, I'm going to meet this man. Consider the situation, ladies and gentlemen. One man, picked at random, is marked to meet with you and doesn't even know it. He might be the most powerful, the wealthiest, the most influential man in that city, but none of these things would help him in the least. He would be defenseless in avoiding meeting you. Why? Because you have one thing that he did not have, intelligence. You would know his identity, and he would not know yours. So long as that condition continued, there would be no possible way in which he could arrange an adequate way to avoid meeting you. Exactly the same situation exists between ourselves and our one-world socialist enemies. Our success will be directly proportional to our knowledge of them, and inversely proportional to their knowledge of us. Whatever your member's principal job may be in the underground army, he must have a basic knowledge of intelligence techniques. This subject is therefore the first to be considered in the training program. The word intelligence, when used in a military sense, refers to those methods that can be used to gain useful information. We usually think of this as knowledge of the enemy, but it also includes information about terrain, general population, available supplies, and all other facts that will help in planning future activities. Intelligence can be roughly divided into three parts. Observation. A. During a hot war, this includes scouting and patrolling, observation of enemy troop movements, etc. On a Cold War front, this includes shadowing of enemy personnel, surveillance of enemy offices, interception of messages, etc. B. Research and analysis. Collecting and cataloging all possible useful information from general sources, newspapers, radio, trade magazines, etc., then matching up isolated scraps of information until an accurate picture of some situation that would not otherwise be known. C. Espionage. This involves the placing of recruiting of agents within the enemy personnel, where they can learn the enemy's plans firsthand, steal the enemy's documents and materials, influence or misdirect the enemy's plans or policies. Suppose you had a chance to see some important document for just a few minutes. How quickly could you scan it for its essential content? How well could you separate the important from the unimportant? Could you record this information in a written message that can be easily read and will not be misinterpreted? Imagine that you are the leader of a patrol defending our nation and our Constitution, sent forward to observe and track an enemy column prior to possible ambush. From time to time, you will need to send back your observations in written form. Each member must develop the ability to put his thoughts on paper in such a way they will be easily read and unmistakable. The first two projects are designed to give the new member an opportunity to test each these skills while learning or reviewing basic elements of espionage activity. When these have been completed, more advanced material will be furnished to active members directly. Useful intelligence projects of increasing complexity and importance will be assigned to those wishing to specialize in this work. Security. It is obvious what a great advantage we can gain over our enemies by proper information about their plans and activities. It is equally true that much of this advantage will be lost unless we can keep our plans and activities secret from them. This is the basic purpose of all security, being divided into five basic parts. A. Protecting the identity of personnel and their families, as in those that are active members in our fight to restore our constitutional republic. B. Keeping secret the location, movement, and plans of guerrilla bands. C. Keeping secret the location of guerrilla headquarters, alternate hideouts, and supply depots. D. Protecting the identity of civilians or individual members of the enemy population that are friendly to underground forces. E. Maintaining secrecy of communications. As we have said previously, it is difficult to even guess what form the coming conflict will take. Nevertheless, the strategy of all successful underground movements to defend their constitutions and their countries must satisfy three basic principles. First is the principle of deliberate delay. During this stage, the underground gathers its forces, checks its security, prepares its intelligence, establishes its lines of communication, and waits for the enemy to become complacent and overconfident. Second is the principle of provocation. At the beginning of this stage, only a few real patriots are willing to take part in underground activities. The vast majority of the population will still be wishfully thinking that they can get along with the oppressive forces. They want only to be left alone and will not take action until they are personally threatened. During this stage, the underground conducts a series of actions which provoke the enemy forces into making harsh repressive measures on the general population. This turns the general population against the occupying forces and convinces them that the underground is really their only hope. Stage 3 may be called the principle of natural allies. When the enemies of our republic or our constitution, whether they be foreign or domestic, an outright invading army, socialist, subversives, what have you, and their actions against the general population become sufficiently brutal, then large numbers of people will be willing to help or join the underground. Their reason for doing so may be numerous, and their ideology may not always be the same as the basic underground movement. During this stage, minor differences between different underground groups must be minimized, and all of our natural allies must be rallied to the cause of freedom. The intelligence branch of the underground is already well aware of the socialist infiltration and control of our present government. It can rightly be said that we are partially controlled by a foreign ideology, foreign to our constitution, foreign to our freedoms and our way of life. Thus, we are already engaged in phase one of the coming conflict. How long this will continue until open warfare breaks out is anyone's guess. Once again, the best predictions of our intelligence department is that stage two will last for several months, perhaps even years. During this time, there will be assassinations and counter-assassinations amongst these groups fighting for control of our country. There will be terror and counter-terror amongst these groups fighting for control of our freedoms and our country. During this phase, the average citizen, if you will, may avoid direct conflicts the price of his dignity and individual freedom. Known patriots will be in extreme danger. For most people, membership in the underground will not materially increase their danger at this time. For many years, enemies of our republic have carefully cataloged names, addresses, dates of every person who has ever written a patriotic letter to a newspaper, magazine, made a phone call to a politician. In the membership lists of many of the more prominent so-called patriotic or conservative talk shows and distribution networks have long been available to infiltrators that are already in these organizations. So take note, ladies and gentlemen. Continued activity and membership in many of these other so-called patriotic or in conservative organizations by members of the constitutional underground is desirable in many cases, but those individuals should not identify themselves as such. For the most part, and most of our members, it would be best if you do not take part in the activities of these other organizations. Although many of you are already marked men, a certain degree of security can still be achieved by quietly dropping out of these so-called patriotic and conservative organizations and talk shows and their networks, and keeping your membership in the Minuteman movement secret from all except your most trusted fellow members. There may come a time when the average American is still able to go about his business with little regimentation, but during which you, as a known or suspected patriot, may be sought out for arrest or assassination. Another essential function of the underground is to convincingly inform the general public of what they stand for and thus gain the support of the general population. This must be done both written and spoken. Under conditions of full enemy occupation, whether foreign or domestic, the spreading of patriotic propaganda is obviously very dangerous. Even now, there are certain phases of our informational efforts that are best done by surreptitious means. Thus, observation, communication, and propaganda are three elementary duties of every underground member. At the present time, we are engaged in a propaganda war, ladies and gentlemen. And I mean the real definition of propaganda. Never before has propaganda been so important to the ultimate outcome of a major conflict. The ultimate object of any war, cold or hot, is to force your enemies on the minds and your desires and needs and ideals upon your enemy. Our enemies right now are doing this by the nonviolent means of psychological warfare upon the general public of America. Later in this training course, we will give heavy emphasis to the principle and actual use of propaganda warfare. Now at this time, if you take up on our special offers, which we will cover in subsequent broadcast, you will be able to engage in actual worksheets and tests to perfect your abilities and research and intelligence and your skills to help fight for restoration of our constitutional republic. Perhaps some of the most important items covered in this previous section were the principle of deliberate delay, the principles of provocation, and the principles of natural allies. And if you become an active Minuteman and get the testing and the research materials, you need to read the pages covering these principles until they're fully understood and committed to memory. If anyone should ask you their meaning, you should be able to give a clear description of each. You should be able to visualize their applications to the conditions America are in today. And as always, the questions and testing and research goes beyond what we covered in this first part of the broadcast. Outside research and reading and work will always be encouraged. One thing that should be noted, is it possible for a socialist entity with the aid of the UN or some other organization to militarily occupy the United States? Students of revolutionary politics and warfare have long realized throughout history, it's been proven that tyrants have always had to disarm a population before they could totally enslave them. And throughout history, the gun laws were intensified to the point of total registration. And from there on, it was relatively easy to confiscate them. So it shouldn't take much imagination, ladies and gentlemen, to understand the nefarious purposes behind our increased anti-gun activity of the politicians and socialists in this country. right, ladies and gentlemen, again, you're listening to the Hour of the Time with your host here, Doyle Shamley, in Eager, Arizona. Our website, hourofthetime.com. My personal email address, hourofthetime@hotmail.com. The physical address, P.O. Box 940, Eager, Arizona, 85925. Now, ladies and gentlemen, now that you've got a basic overview, we're going to detail a little bit more, phase by phase, what each aspect contains and consists of. So let's go on now to intelligence. Ladies and gentlemen, we are faced with a dangerous enemy who has repeatedly boasted of his plans to destroy our constitutional republic and to enslave our people. For more than 80 years, they have been infiltrating their agents into the most sensitive areas of labor, press, entertainment, education, law, communications, religion, industry, and government. The degree of their success is made obvious by our government's failure to oppose communism and socialism internationally and domestically, and by our own fellow citizens' lack of interest in their own preservation and freedoms. We already know a considerable amount about this and have broadcast this hundreds of times. Their origins of the enemy, objectives, approximate strengths, organizational structures, and general methods of operation. There are four areas where you will need especially additional information. One, details of the techniques used in espionage, infiltration, and subversion by individual Minutemen, and also by their agents, including the methods by which they control their quote-unquote fellow travelers. The equipment used for surveillance, communications, assassination, sabotage, etc. by the individual enemy agents. Know thy enemy. Research and working details of their short-range programs, either in operation or planned for the near future, which we cover extensively all the time on the Hour of the Time. For the actual identity of enemy agents, their quote-unquote fellow travelers and sympathizers, along with details regarding their work, places of residence, cover operations, means of transportation, travel patterns, personal appearance, mental characteristics, personal lives, businesses, and organizational activities. Our ultimate victory, ladies and gentlemen, over the socialist enemies of our country, or defeat, may depend on our ability to attain enough of this vitally important information. There are literally thousands of sources from which bits of valuable information may be obtained. These range from such extremes as daily newspapers to outright documents from the enemy's vaults. The methods of gathering intelligence are roughly divided into two groups, ladies and gentlemen. Research and analysis is group one, and group two is espionage. Now, espionage, you must remember, is done on a daily basis by the enemies of our freedoms and our Constitution and American way of life, and includes the illegal means of obtaining information, such as warrantless wiretapping, warrantless interception of mail, stealing of our documents and records. And They photograph our records and activities. Infiltrate spies into organizations. And they also use bribery and blackmail. You can use research and analysis heavily through a careful and systematic search of newspapers, magazines, trade journals, house organs, political pamphlets, books, public records, etc. to sift a few needles, if you will, of intelligence from several haystacks of general information. Professional intelligence organizations attain only about 95% of their information from research and analysis, and the very small number of only 5% from actual espionage. Their espionage techniques against us, and when the time comes to confront an enemy of our republic on our soil, the same will prove that they are most effective when a specific mission is carefully planned out in advance, takes advantage of all possible background information that may be obtained by the greater source, research and analysis. We're going to change the names and places and use some actual cases to illustrate the combined activities of research and analysis within the Minuteman movement. One member in Ohio noticed a small article in a newspaper to the effect that a man that we'll call Professor Smith gave a talk on the need for a one-world government to a local businessman's club. This member annotated these events with news clippings and intelligence he had gathered on simple 4x6 index cards and melded along with similar cards of information without this or any special notice. These cards went into the file cabinets with thousands of others. In April 62, one of the members in Ohio wrote, using a fictitious name expressing interest in one of the left-wing anti-gun socialist organizations. Cards were then sent in for each person whose name appeared as a sponsor on that organization's literature. Among those was another card that listed Professor Smith. In August, when one of the Communist Front organizations held a picnic rally near Columbus, Ohio, a group of Minutemen were there to record the automobile license plates of all those attending. These were then checked out. Cards were made out in the usual form and sent in. Again, amongst these cards was another card for Professor Smith. On receipt of this third card, a yellow tag was simply placed on this file, and Professor Smith was considered for special research and investigation. Additional information on his background was obtained from public records, and an innocent appearing letter of inquiry to the college where he teaches. Other details were obtained from retail credit bureaus, newspaper clippings, professional society membership rosters. Then a simple check of the area where Professor Smith lives and teaches, found that there was really only one member actively in his direct vicinity. Upon notice and reactivating the interest of this member, he began a recruiting drive on the college campus where Professor Smith teaches. This developed three new members, one of whom was a student in Professor Smith's political science class. This student soon joined the local student peace union, which was also sponsored by Professor Smith. These members kept a close watch on all his activities and the group's activities. From this combined infiltration, surveillance, research, and analysis, we have learned a great deal of personal information about this professor, his methods of operation, his associations with the socialist and communist apparatus against our Republican Constitution. Here we have seen where, through research and analysis, ladies and gentlemen, it led to the identity of an enemy of our republic who might otherwise have been easily labeled a dupe or a misguided liberal. Follow-up research and analysis has coldly proven the loyalty of this professor to international communist and socialist conspiracies, but then has simply led to additional penetration of that apparatus by our own Minuteman members. Thereby expanding our base of research and knowledge even more. Now let's go back and examine how these various techniques might be used to obtain additional information of the four basic types we need most. One, details of the techniques used in espionage, infiltration, and subversion of our enemy organizations by individual Minutemen, including methods by which they control, that is, the enemy, their quote-unquote fellow travelers. A Minuteman member may learn something of the general espionage methods used by communist and socialist agents who have so-called defected from their party and have then written about their experiences in the media. Beyond this, there's very little value there. The actual details of their techniques that they used against us and our constitution and our country and our way of life are systematically and uniformly neglected. More useful information can be obtained from the study of past court records, congressional and Senate hearings, etc., in which evidence has been presented in espionage cases. Hints and clues may also be picked up from continuous and careful study of the regular news media. However, the really basic information must oftentimes be obtained by the simple methods of infiltration, if you will. That is, like we said earlier, joining these enemy socialist organizations, getting their newsletters, their pamphlets, attending their meetings, see what they're all about, who's the leadership, who's in charge, what's their agenda. What are their goals? What are their near plans, their long-range plans? Ladies and gentlemen, one of the other points is working details. Again, of their immediate and future plans and activities. Advanced information about meetings of socialist environmental groups, so-called peace marches, and other demonstrations can be had by simply subscribing to the appropriate newsletters, pamphlets, and informational guides, whether that be in printed form or via the internet. Details to the size of the activity and the degree of their effectiveness and plans of even possible violence must be obtained and can only be attained by infiltrating or joining such organizations, signing up for their newsletters and weeklies again, their email alerts, etc. Then, by deducing from a close study of their past activities and through their own information, email alerts, printed materials, pamphlets, fundraisers for future plans and activities, then you can truly see what a given group or organization's socialist plans for the future and what their future propaganda campaigns will be, their future subversion, their future espionage, their future blackmail of Americans, their future blackmail of government officials, squeezing them in to join the agenda. The identity and personal information about enemy agents is another point. And this requires the full scope of counter-espionage activities. Again, research and analysis of the enemy's publications, monitoring of socialist-sponsored meetings, who often come under the guise of business welfare groups, new practices, innovative ideas, environmental impacts, business consortiums, consolidations. Interception of enemy communications amongst themselves. Simple surveillance of these meetings. Infiltration of them through membership, recruitment of double agents, etc. Now we'll get lightly onto the area today of techniques of effective research. Every researcher should be constantly on the alert for useful information in the general news media, radio, TV, magazines, newspapers, etc. Each researcher should have one field of interest to which he gives special attention. One researcher might read every book available on the environmental movement, for instance, and all the stories or articles written about the environmental movement and their meetings and their agendas. Another researcher might read every book available on escape and evasion, and all the stories or articles written on escape and evasion, looking for ideas that might someday help our members escape from a concentration camp. Another researcher may specialize in electronic magazines, always searching for the newest information on radio communications, electronic surveillance, new types of alarms, etc. Another researcher might continually search the Socialist One World publications for names of their quote-unquote fellow travelers. Announcements of future meetings, rallies, similar activities. Any additional information that would tie an individual socialist enemy of our Republican freedoms to a known organization. And even for their friendships and business connections and relationships between known socialists and unknown socialists who haven't been proven yet to be active enemies of our freedom. Each area or city of Minutemen should have one researcher that carefully reads the daily newspapers to extract such information, names of speakers at socialist meetings and groups. Names of both left-wing and so-called right-wing letters to the editor. Social functions regularly attended by known socialists. Names of persons who they are trying to recruit actively. News of coming marches, gatherings, similar demonstrations, environmental meetings, business consortiums. Also, keep note of public officials who attend these meetings on a regular basis and what their position is when they speak. Educators, businessmen, ministers, and all evidence of socialist-inspired violence, sabotage, blackmail, money laundering, theft, legal manipulation done in your area. There is in reality almost an endless variety of areas that need to be covered. But based on his or her own interest and abilities, each Minuteman should consider the specialty for which they are best qualified. Now, ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to the Hour of the Time here, and I hope you took judicious notes. And remember, although I know it's very hard to do that, we are listener-supported, and your donations for these broadcasts in CD or MP3 format will help us maintain our mission to restore our constitutional republic and freedoms, and at the same time help you become a proactive part in that fight for our freedoms, restoration of our republic, and defeat of the New World enemy socialist.